Hey guys, it's Jack and Jess. Say hi, Jessica.
Hello.
And we're not my type. We're talking today about different object relational affects and how they affect some types, specifically two new concepts we're introducing about how the attachment types differ with rejection wings versus with frustration wings. If you don't know what any of that means, you should go look on our website. You should go read some other things. This is a fairly involved podcast in the sense of sharing really intricate, nuanced details about what we found in our data after years of research. So if you're interested in listening to the way the attachment types can vary, please stick around. And if not, go listen to other things that we've made. For context, I'm a sexual social 2-wing 3 with 7 and 8 fixes underneath.
And I'm myself a sexual 6-wing 7 with 9 and 4 fixes underneath.
So the concept we're introducing today, off the back of our last podcast, where we contrasted the polarity between frustration and rejection, about how frustration is a hyper-awareness of the needy part of our psyche, and rejection is an under-awareness of the needy part of our psyche. Our concept today is sort of examining the way the attachment types, because they have to have a wing, they're borrowing from either frustration energy or rejection energy. And this adds a feeling of added irritation with a frustration wing or added confidence with a rejection wing.
And just for reference, that a attachment number can only have a frustration wing or a rejection wing. There's not, a six can't have two frustration options, or every 3, 6, and 9, they both have either a frustration wing or a rejection wing.
Right, and that's true of actually, because the object relational affects form equilateral triangles, you pick any number on the whole map and its two wing options are never gonna be the same affect. So like even 8, you know, like 8 has either a 9 wing, which is attachment, or a 7 wing, which is frustration. So yeah, just in general, that sort of, that creates a big difference, for example, between 9-wing 8s and 9-wing 1s and the way they feel interactionally when we're meeting them or talking to them, but also when we're interviewing them and reading their behavior and trying to measure someone's type. There are specific things we've learned to look for. I feel like we should talk about, in general, most of the time, but so we're talking about the attachment types today because they're so much more common. So 3, 6, and 9 as fixes in general are going to be the most common or most likely outcome for a given type. So you pick any number on the whole map. And if you make that, there's the train. I guess we should just include it from now on. We used to cut out the train, but the train's just going to be a buddy because we're right next to a train station. So if you want to say hi, what should we name the train?
Oh, I don't know. But we do know this. That sometimes this train conductor is needy and honks a lot, and sometimes they are not needy, but it has to be the same person because we're only giving one name.
Right.
So right now, blank is feeling saucy.
Let's do Eugene. I like Eugene.
Eugene.
Yeah, right. Doesn't that feel like a train conductor?
Yes.
Okay, so anyways, where were we? Oh, so we're talking about attachment because if you pick any number on the whole map, if you make that a core type, the two most common fixes it's going to have underneath are the other attachment fixes. So for example, even if you're taking a 7, the most common iteration of 7 is going to be with 3 and 9 underneath. So the more hexad numbers you have, the more hexad fixes you have, the less adaptive and less sort of quote-unquote normal you're going to show up. And so just the sheer commonality of the attachment fixes is part of why we're going to talk about these specific nuanced subsets of type.
Well, it's also why we've noticed these in such detail, is because a large part of our data is filled with these attachment, these triangle numbers.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the triangle types with rejection on the side of them. The rejection structures are 2, 8, and 5. So we noticed specifically in the attachment types 3, 6, and 9 that have a rejection wing. So that would be 3-wing 2 or 9-wing 8 or 6-wing 5. They're borrowing from this space of invulnerability because the rejection types are out of touch with their sense of dissatisfaction. So what you get really is a person that kind of feels more confident because the part of them that's itching or unhappy or dissatisfied is not really present. It's not going to show up in their consciousness. And so we've noticed these three fixes, we call them shielded because they feel much more protected, relaxed, and at ease with themselves and felt more comfortable than their frustration-winged counterparts.
Yeah, the frustration wing counterparts are, we coined the term exposed because when there are bits of idealism and things that you want, you are exposed and that you are vocal about what you want.
Frustration functions like an open nerve. You know, 7, 1, and 4 are all very picky and they're aware of what is bothering them. And so when you get 6-wing 7 and 9-wing 1 and 3-wing 4, the fixes that are borrowing from that frustration space, you still get attachment types, so they still need to be on the same page as the other, as their environment at some level.
Mm-hmm.
But they're dissatisfied. There's this like itch, this discomfort. And we found that really consistently, these exposed fixes would make people feel very uncomfortable. Like when you were interviewing them, they would feel like they're just like quaking in their boots, kind of. Does that fit in your opinion?
Yes, and the most important like indicator for this was the eye contact.
It was really interesting. This was so exciting to me. Yeah. Oh, Eugene, quiet down. We're gonna pause for a second. Yeah, so this eye contact issue was like really one of the most interesting things I feel like I could get all excited about, because it was such a consistent behavioral trend. So we noticed the exposed fixes, like we just talked about, 3-wing 4, 6-wing 7, 9-wing 1, when those structures were primary in someone's type, they were really bad at eye contact, specifically in people who had two exposed fixes up front. So this could be like a 3-wing 4 with 6-wing 7 second, or a 9-wing 1 with 6-wing 7 second. You know, those.
Or like me, 6-wing 7 with 9-wing 1 second.
Right. These double exposed types, as we call them, they were consistently really bad at eye contact. Of course, like someone who's triple exposed, they're the worst at eye contact because there's no rejection energy at play. You know, there's nothing sort of making them feel invulnerable. They feel entirely vulnerable. And what I found interesting too is that like, this is not the same for core frustration types, you know, 4s and 7s and 1s.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because they're not trying to adapt to like get on the same page as the parent. You know, if you listen to our last episode, they're not the coin spinning. You know, they're not trying to sustain a movement. They're so fixated on their ideal that they actually don't feel as uncomfortable. But the attachment types that feel obligated to stay latched on to the other. Hi, Eugene. Also have this frustration wing, they felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah, because with attaching, you need something from the other person. Where the frustration types do not.
Right. And this contrasted really greatly with the shielded types. You know, like we looked at... So let's talk about... what's a great example? Let's talk about 9 and 3, you know, the way they interact. 9 and 3 together, what do they share? Well, they're both adaptive, and 9 is an adaptable boundary, an adaptable presence, and 3 is an adaptable image. So you get this sort of like mirroring quality, where the person is mirroring someone's energy and their image. But with frustration wings, like if you had someone who was 9-wing 1 and 3-wing 4 together up front, they just feel very little in the body. Mixed with 3-wing 4 has this sort of like brooding, private quietude that it's borrowing from that 4-ish space. And those people really would not make a lot of eye contact.
Yeah, and the having both withdrawn numbers 4 and 9 doesn't help either. It adds to that.
Right,
it adds to the effect. Because 4 is an exposed wing, and the person will have 9 as this setup, so...
Mm-hmm. But contrasted with like someone who had 9-wing 8 and 3-wing 2 up front, you know, we call that link quiet confidence because it feels so relaxed and at ease with itself. 9-wing 8 is an adaptable boundary that is also rooted. You know, I'm allowed to be adaptable. I'm allowed to be slow. I'm allowed to be soft. And then 3-wing 2 is an adaptable image that's allowed to be adaptable. You know, it's allowed to be warm and friendly and confident and shiny.
Yeah, they're almost like quietly intimidating, but it's because they feel so confident.
Specifically that
but
combo.
But they're so warm at the same time. It's not like a cold, like I'm better than you.
Well, not just 3-wing 2s, but specifically the 9-wing 8, 3-wing 2 combo.
Yes.
Up front.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it created a very distinct feeling. And even, this was funny too for me, like thinking about type 6, which is like such a tangibly uncomfortable type to begin with because it's reactive attachment.
Mm-hmm. And it's projecting.
Right. But 6-wing 5 felt so much more confident than 6-wing 7, even though I wouldn't say 6-wing 5 in and of itself is terribly confident. But it feels more landed, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's borrowing from that rejection space of the 5-wing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think this also shows up in the way that, like, the exposed fixes are sort of borrowing from the frustration number in the way that they are doing their dominant center. So, like, looking at type 3, which is, like, a neutral, adaptable, perfect image, 3-wing 4 is borrowing from 4's specificity, you know, so you'll get more of this, I don't want it to look that way. And that dissatisfaction makes them feel, I think there's a self-criticism happening in real time for 3-wing 4's that 3-wing 2's don't have. You know, 3-wing 2's don't have as much specificity in how they need to appear or how they feel obligated to appear.
Which makes for a more exposed feel.
That right.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because 3-wing 2 is not exposed, it's adapting to the other. You know, it's borrowing from that other-focused, what do you want, what do you need? You know, where 3-wing 4 is more self-focused and it's kind of...
Yeah, so the self is more on the line than with 3-wing 2 because there's nothing to divert that attention. Like 3-wing 2 has the other, like you were saying, the 3-wing 4, it's like they're doing right. That all on their own.
I think 3-wing 4 has the ability, at least for me sometimes, to feel like the most self-conscious of any fixation because it's attachment and it has that frustration wing. So it's a shield, it's an exposed type. But specifically in the context of the heart space, which is about image and identity and who am I and do you see me and do you love me? You know, it just makes them feel really... uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I wonder if something we've noticed with 3-wing 4 fixers is that there is more of a coldness there than there is even with like 4 fixers. And I wonder if there's a bit of a compensating for that. Like there's like it's so exposed, and so you're kind of putting up like a more neutral wall.
I think the neutrality totally helps them try and protect themselves, you know, a little bit, because it's like Four Wing Three doesn't feel exposed like that. It's reacting, you know, it's a yeah. reactive structure, so it doesn't need to be perfect. It just is.
Yeah.
What it is.
As someone that leads doubly exposed, I remember, if I can share this, I remember the first time that I started therapy a year ago, one of the first things that came up was eye contact, because he immediately noticed that I couldn't make it. And of course, like, so we were theorizing without the Enneagram, without all this, like, different, like, reasons why. And a lot of good things came out of that, but, like, really kind of knowing, like, hey, I'm doubly exposed. Eye contact is hard. I'd rather be looking at the ground right now and not at you, because, like, it just is like a,
Yeah, what does it feel like?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about. It's a... I don't know. It's intimidating and thrilling at the same time, but that might be other things at play.
It's the sexual instinct at play.
I know, it totally hits me, a sexual instinct, because it's like so, it's such like a locked on. I feel seen, and I don't want to be seen, but I want to be seen.
How complicated.
It's so complicated. Because, and you know, we've nicknamed the 6-wing-7, 9-wing-1 link as the rabbit link, and there's like a don't look at me quality. And with eye contact, the person is looking at me.
Right.
It's a very scared, doesn't want to be in the spotlight, is afraid. Like, it just wants to make itself very small. And when you're seen, you obviously can't be small. You're obviously in someone's spotlight. And so there's, right. like, a kind of, like, you know.
I think we should clarify, too, though, is that I think most people are pretty good at eye contact when they're listening. This really specifically comes to when people are talking, you know, like I found that the eye contact struggle was really not, I think a lot of people who are exposed types might not type themselves this way because they feel like they're really good at making eye contact, but that's probably when you're listening. So when it comes your turn to talk, you know, like if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't gotten typed by us or you're trying to figure out your own type, exposed types can be just as good as anyone else is at looking at someone in the eyes when they're listening.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to talk, they usually are going to sort of dart away.
No, that's really good. Because I can look you in the eyes when like you're talking. And for me, for 6-wing-7, I don't know, there's just so many possibilities to consider within my head of what I could be saying that like making eye contact is distracting me. You know?
Right. Interesting.
It's like, oh, like there's so much work to do up here in my head. So it's like the making eye, okay, so now we're making eye contact and now the brain is going a little bit slower, which means I've lost possibilities of things that I could talk about. And
interesting.
Yeah. It's like a freedom to look down.
I saw a 6-wing-5 night before last. I was visiting, I was carpooling with some friends to an event and we did a little brief pit stop at someone's apartment to pick something up. And, I saw a 6-wing-5 in there that we had interviewed, a while ago that I hadn't seen in quite some time. And she got 9-wing-1 second. So she's very introverted. And I was just astounded by how much of a difference that wing on the core type makes. She just was looking me dead in the eyes with her ice blue eyes.
Like, opposed to like talking to me.
Right. Like yeah, she's just not, she can totally hold my gaze. And we found this was true also typically, the single exposed types, like for example, a 3-wing-4 with like 7 second, they didn't really have this issue as much as like a 3-wing-4 with 9-wing-1 or 6-wing-7 second, you know,
yeah.
It kind of took two consecutive exposed structures to make someone feel this way, conversationally. Not, I mean, there were exceptions to it, of course. This is just like a trend we found, you know.
Yeah.
There was something interesting I should note as well, which is that I think social blindness also can produce the same result. I know someone who leads with that quiet confidence link. She's 3-wing-2 with 9-wing-8 second, but she's supersexual and she's terrible at eye contact. I think there are other factors that can affect this, but I think primarily this is the most consistent and most reliable evidence we found to suggest that.
It's also really helped, and you brought this up earlier, when comparing two people that are very much close to each other, like a 6-wing-5 with 8-wing-9 versus a 6-wing-7 with 8-wing-9, even though both of them are not double exposed, the 6-wing-7 is going to feel a little bit more exposed compared to the 6-wing-5, even though they're going to be less exposed than someone that leads like with two double exposed
for sure
fixes. So
for sure, that's true. I think a great example of what you just mentioned is like we were typing Quentin Tarantino the other day. I can't stand his movies. I find him obnoxious. And I was watching some interviews of him where he's very defensive. He's very reactive. He's a 6-wing-8 second. And he has a double 7-wing. So he's 6-wing-7 and then 8-wing-7. So he's extremely verbose and extremely loud. But even with all the bigness of that 8 second, he's so agitated. And just the whole conversation and every interview I was watching with him, he feels like he's trying to crawl out of his skin. He's just not fully in himself, even with 8 second. You know, I think if he was an 8 with 6 and 7 second, you wouldn't get that same feel, probably.
Yeah, no, I was actually using this to type him because I was going with a more assertive, like a 3 or an 8, because there's a good bit of 8.
In 3, yeah, he's got that link there.
I know, yeah. And then, but then he did this thing where it looked like he either wasn't making eye contact, but it just, he seemed too nervous. Not just like the defensiveness of 6, but just kind of like, it felt a little bit too awkward for 8. And it was like, oh my gosh, he's exposed. This is probably 6 wing 7.
Right.
And then it fit the other, you know, criteria that we use to type someone 6 wing 7. But it was like that moment of like, oh my gosh, he's exposed, you know?
And that's something we look for, is really like, even if someone is trying to do eye contact, they'll still have that discomfort quality going on. But I think the eye contact thing really clicked for me when I was watching an interview of a friend whom I had asked her for a video like years ago when we first started this project. Reagan, if you're listening, love you. Thanks for being a fan. She's a 3 wing 4 and she's got 6 wing 7 second and then 8 at the bottom. But we had mistyped her as 3 wing 4 with 8 second to begin with. And I realized, I was sort of reflecting back on, after I realized it was 6 second, I was reflecting back on all of our time in high school together because I knew her growing up. And she would always have a conversation with me while looking just above my head and to the left. Like she would be slightly diagonal and I would always like raise my head. I mean, I'm much taller than her, so I'd just like crane my long neck up into her field of view, and she'd be like, stop doing that. Because she knew, she's like, I'm awkward. I'm just awkward, okay? And it's very funny too, because it's a different, totally different experience than mine. And that's why I was pretty unempathetic to her. I was like, why? Just look at me, like look me in the eyes. And I think part of that too is my own type structure is like very into eye contact. It's very, you know, like sexual too. And I've got 8 there, you know, there's a lot of directness, a lot of like penetrating qualities.
Yeah, I was going to say that it makes sense why you would find this first. Because right. This is probably like a pet peeve.
Well, specifically, I found 6 wing 7s who had 3 wing 4 second. They were the types that usually had the biggest beef with me. And I think I finally figured out it's because they're double exposed, but on a reactive core, you know, like they're uncomfortable. And I would just sort of show up and meet them. And like, I remember doing this in high school. And even when I started college, I would just ask people super, super vulnerable questions. I had to sort of unlearn that process because it made people really angry and sad or whatever, you know, like I didn't really see the product of what I was creating. But yeah, I just found that these 6 wing 7s who had 3 wing 4 second, they would A, be bad at eye contact, but B, also just feel very frightened of me specifically because all of that directness was funneling toward them.
And it's 2 layers of reactivity.
Right. Too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because the 6 wing 7, then they've got the 4 wing. Yeah. 3. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I found, honestly, that same type with 9 wing 8 at the bottom, even just having that shielded fix, it could make them feel a little bit more landed, you mm-hmm. know? But if they had 9 wing 1 at the bottom, another layer of exposure, they just would feel extra, extra, extra uncomfortable. So this is just like a tiny little behavioral trend we found, but I thought it's so interesting. And I challenge you, if you're listening, like start looking for it in the world around you. You know, look, talk to your friends, talk to your family and see who's looking you in the eye and who isn't.
It's probably while they're talking.
Right, while they're talking, you know, like they can listen and make eye contact usually. But this is part of the philosophy of how we type, is that we really believe your type should be measured not based on what you feel about yourself, but based on like, what role are you playing in the tribe across the board? You know, like who are the people that can't make eye contact? Well, we found in our data, as far as we can tell, pretty consistently these exposed types are the ones.
Which was cool because it came really late in our data collection.
Right.
It took years. It wasn't like a thought and then we had the chance to fit the data to it. It's that the thought came later and then like, oh my gosh, the data lined up.
Because we already had all of the videos, you know, to prove it. And what's interesting too is that like most of the interviews we collected, the vast majority of them were videos we literally collected. Like mm-hmm. Jessica and I went out and about and like talked to our friends and loved ones, talked to family members and collected the interviews ourselves, where we're actually sitting there with our phone recording a video, trying to gather as much as we can. And when you're in that conversation, you get to sort of actually experience it firsthand. You know, it's a little bit tougher when you're dealing with someone who's not there with you.
Yeah, or they're recording by themselves in front of their own computer. You don't really get it as much.
You don't get it as much, but there's still going to be that like discomfort quality of the exposed types. I want to talk about the shielded fixes for a second again. My mom is a 9 wing 8 with 3 wing 2 second. So she leads with that quiet confidence link. And it's so interesting because as a 9, she experiences herself as kind of like, I think, you know, withdrawn and private and even small, maybe she would say. But people, like my friends growing up, when they would meet her, they would say she was intimidating. Over and over and over, they would say she's intimidating, which is so funny to me, because like growing up with her, I don't find her intimidating, and she doesn't find herself intimidating. But I think it's just that degree of confidence, those two shielded fixes, you know, that's kind of why she got that rep.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's interesting, too, to know, like, I wonder how much of this is in the gene pool, I guess, or in the, like, just thinking about my family. I'm thinking about both sides of my family, and there's not really a ton of exposure. I'm trying to find people I know.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of rejection.
A lot of rejection energy, which yeah. makes sense. You know, like lots of 3-wing-2 fixes, lots of 8 fixes even, or 9-wing-8 fixes.
My family's more balanced.
Yeah. I wanted to give some real-time examples of where you could see this, like in media. I'm thinking about some celebrities with really similar typings where one of them has a shielded fix up front, one of them has an exposed fix up front, and the feel conversationally is really radically different. Two people that I sort of pulled up that were on my mind. So Selena Gomez is a triple exposed type. She's a 3-wing-4 with 6-wing-7 and 9-wing-1 underneath. And in every interview she does, she just feels so uncomfortable. Like she's trying so hard to be perfect and like she's like shrinking, trying to get out of the, like she just is not really landed. And then you contrast her with people who have the exact same type setup with a 2-wing on the front. Like Joe Jonas is that type. We call that Happy Bermuda.
Yeah, the Happy Bermudas.
3-wing-2, 6-wing-7, 9-wing-1. So he still has 2 exposed fixes underneath. He still has 6-wing-7 and 9-wing-1. But underneath that 2-wing, he's pretty shielded. He's makes a lot of eye contact, very smiley, very self-assured, seemingly. And you can also look at Margot Robbie is another great example of that same type with a 2-wing. And she's just going to feel more landed, more confident. And I think that's part of why 3-wing-4 like doesn't smile as much. You know, it's like they just feel they're not really ready to. Of course, 3-wing-4s can smile. It's not that they can't smile. It's just not going to be their default face.
Yeah. Yeah, another two people that we found with who... So you have Meg Ryan, who we would do 6-wing-7, 9-wing-1 up front. And then she does have a 3-wing-2, but she is double exposed up front. And then you contrast her with Emma Stone, who is 6-wing-7 with 3-wing-2 and 9-wing-8. So those two fixes underneath Emma's core are going to have rejection wings. And if you look at interviews of like a young Meg Ryan and Emma Stone, like Emma Stone is just comes off way more confident.
Even though she's a 6-wing-7, you know, yeah. They're both exposed cores. You know, mm-hmm. They both have 6-wing-7 core, but yeah, the feel is totally different. I would totally agree.
Yeah. The scaredness of kind of like the smallness of Meg Ryan gives her acuteness because she's so nervous. And Emma Stone just comes off a little bit more like a...
She's kind of quirky and weird. Yeah. You know, like the 9-wing-8 adds like an allowedness underneath.
Yes.
That makes her, I mean, I think they're both social sixes, right? Like they're both social dominant. So that's part of it. They're both quirky types to begin with. But Emma Stone's like that quiet confidence underneath 6-wing-7, it's there, you know, it's not quiet because she's a social six, you know, she's going to be kind of loud with that.
No, as someone double exposed, I find Emma Stone a little bit more intimidating than I would Meg Ryan.
Yeah, Meg Ryan doesn't seem intimidating at all. And that's just because in general, by default, 9-wing-1 is not going to feel intimidating.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
9-wing-8. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely check out interviews of those people because you should be able to see the difference.
Are there any other examples? Oh, I think even like, it doesn't always have to be 2 double exposed structures up front for someone to be bad at eye contact. Like I was thinking about Justin Bieber. I think we've typed him as a 9-wing-8 with 3-wing-4 second.
Mm.
And then he's got 6-wing-7 at the bottom. So he's a shielded type up front, but he does have 2 exposed fixes underneath. And he, in the interviews I've seen him do, he's not making eye contact. He's pretty uncomfortable. So there are variations to this, and I don't want to say it's like across the board. It's always this way.
No, but contrast him with someone like Jacob Elordi.
What's his type again? He's
9-wing-8, 3-wing-2, 6-wing-7.
Right.
And it's a very different feel.
Right, so it would be the same type just with a 2-wing on the second. Yeah, he feels much more confident, much more relaxed.
Yeah.
That's actually a great example. Yeah, you should go look at Jacob Elordi interviews. He's like, we just did an episode on his movie Saltburn, and so I got to look at a lot of interviews of him because I was trying to type him and see maybe how his own type setup is affecting the character he plays. And in all the interviews, he seems so at ease with himself.
Oh, he's so chill.
He's so chill. He's so confident, but quietly so.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Not loud, yeah.
Well, I hope this was fun. If you want to learn more from us about the things we find in our data, you should join our Facebook group. You can search Not My Type Enneagram on Facebook. I know Facebook seems like pretty outdated and archaic to some of us who are Gen Zs, but whatever.
Not for the millennials.
Right. So hop in there if you want. You can also get type bias scientifically. We'll measure your behavior and contrast you with the pre-existing data set we've been talking about. And we have those services online at our website at notmytypeenneagram.com. And then you can also find me on TikTok at Jack Hauser and where I'm running the business, blah, blah, blah. And then also we have Instagram. It's not super active right now, but that's Not My Type Enneagram as well.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, I hope it was fun. We have a lot more coming your way, so stay tuned. We're trying to release episodes every week on Wednesdays at 5 a.m. Eastern time, if you're interested. That seems to be the best time to release it. So we'll stick with that for now and see if that works for us. But stay tuned. Hope you keep listening. Bye.
Bye.